Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. John and I are here, and earlier this evening, I would say that we were both in a pretty good mood. What a fun first half of this Portland Trailblazers game, and you know, it's coming off of a 60-point night from Tatum, and you know, getting the bench is getting more and more involved. Nesmith is taking off, and then what the F? That's all I'm going to say, man. What the F? Like, first off, I don't really care that they didn't call the flagrant, you know, on Powell against Smart. But if you're not going to call it there, you don't become a chump ass and call it later and then eject him. Like, I had this feeling, I was texting with my son back and forth, I had this feeling that the officials just kind of had it out for us a little, like not real bad, you know, definitely we should have been able to play above it. But at the very end of that, to pull that nonsense and then not allow Brad to challenge a clearly a ball that was not anywhere near the cylinder. You know, they botched this one. They botched it so bad. And you really have to say, I saw your tweet that Marcus is a marked man at this point, mm-hmm. because that's bullshit. I'm just going to say it. Mm-hmm. And then to watch Jaylen go down, and we can't even get Kemba healthy because some bizarre, like, you know, now all of a sudden, like, I was enjoying myself, John. I'm just going to say, I was enjoying myself. And then now I'm in a bitter mood. I'm in a bitter mood.
We had a stretch where we went like 7-1, and then we had that really kind of what the hell is going on situation kind of after that, where they lost 3 in a row. You know, they lost the Brooklyn game, then they lost to Charlotte by in a huge blowout, then they lost to Oklahoma City. I mean, those three games really were like, wait, what? But before that, they had gone 7-1, and things seemingly were kind of on the upswing. And I'm not doing this. We're not going to do a eulogy for the team. This you know, I don't think we're at that point. But look, at some point, it's like, when do you know to say enough's enough? I want to talk about Smart, but it's like, let's not forget Tatum. Tatum turning his ankle too. He has been.
It was less of a turn and more of an impact. I think he's more likely to have a bone bruise, but
which isn't better, honestly. I mean, bone bruises can be as bad as anything. So I mean, I look, we're going down the run here. We're firmly in the sixth seed. Let's say. the Knicks are playing well. You know, we got two games with the Heat. You know, it's an uphill fight in a way. But I thought if everything's healthy and things were seemingly starting to come together, the team that I saw for 3.5 quarters until things really went off the rails with the officials, I think is a team that could compete, you know, the rest of the way and give a good charge into the playoffs.
Yeah, look at Fournier.
But what I saw, but let's put it really right where it could be. The officials took this game away from the Celtics, and not in a blatant, you know, here's this what happened, but
yeah, this isn't the tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. Did happen. Objectively, they took it away.
They took it away, and there were things that happened because of the way it went down that now the cornerstones of this franchise are in questionable health here. During a very crucial section of the season, you know, we get Kemba, who's still out. I'm flabbergasted. I'm angry at the NBA. I'm frustrated at this season, at what it has done. I'm, you know, about 2 days away from this game. Again, we're recording right after whatever happened against Portland. I've got enough space from this to be able to, like, well, you know, hey, Tatum finished strong and all this, but this game should have been a showcase game for the NBA. It should have shown everything that's good about this league. And the one thing that got in the way of it were the three officials. The 10 guys out there, 5 in each jersey, were doing their damnedest to make this a great game. And the 3 that had whistles in their hands were doing their best to screw it up. It's a joke.
And drag it out, dude. It was disgusting. And, like, even Mike, like, we've talked about this with Mike before, and I've obviously lamented it. But, dude, nobody wants to sit there with 3 consecutive timeouts at home waiting for the – like, it sucked. It wasn't just – all the BS calls that sucked the energy out. It was the length of, like, review time. Like, they spent forever on it. And I loved when Mike said, you know, there's one for the coaches meeting. These things got to be limited. We can't all sit around for 5 to 10 minutes. It's one thing when you're in the stands, maybe, and you're at the game and they're pumping their music in and helping pass the time a little bit, and maybe you go get another beer. I don't know. But sitting at home, dude, like, this is why I tape the games. I don't watch them live usually because I can't stand it. But the live experience is the better experience. And so they got to figure it out.
I've always been pretty consistently in favor of, I don't care how long it takes because I want to make sure that they get it right. Well, here's what's happening now. Now we're looking at the video so long that now we're looking for extra things. We're looking for, well, we can find this. And I truly believe that's what happened with Smart. You know, one, yeah, absolutely, it's a moving screen. It's an offensive foul. Goes the other way. Clearly. Now, if you run into a guy, do you have control over what's going on? I mean, look, it's the same way.
That's why it was a common foul. You're right. That's why it was a common foul. The Norman Powell thing was unintentional. And they decided that this was intentional. It's the only way they can justify it.
And it's not even
he wanted to hit him in the balls.
Right,
that's
but it's not even
what you said.
But it's not even just that they called the technical on him. They ejected him for it.
Right.
You can't – how? You know, like, it just – it's you know, that's the stuff that's like – that's like an extra level of something. You know, you want to prove intent? Is that what we're going to do now? We're going to start to prove intent? Because I thought that's what we were trying to get away from with the flagrant foul. The flagrant foul was like, well, you know, it doesn't matter if there's intent or not. This is what it is. Okay, fine. Then Norman Powell is a flagrant foul one. Clearly, end of day. End of story. I mean, it's just like Jaylen Brown trying to move his elbows to bring the ball up and around and then end up elbowing, you know, Duncan Robinson, whose face is like literally right in Jaylen Brown's face in the playoffs. It's the same sort of
leaning
idea.
Over him, leaning right. over him,
right?
Not up in front, leaning over into
exactly.
him.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's the so
here's what makes that also ridiculous, right? Because if you jump up and then you land and somebody lands on your foot, right? Then that's a technical now. And I don't disagree with that. But then why can defenders literally lean over you and get into your, like, literal airspace? Not your foot space, your face space, right? Like, they're so – they've gotten so – and this is what I'm getting at, isn't necessarily to debate each piece. They've gotten so technically inept. What I mean is it's paralysis by dumbass analysis.
Yeah.
They're just overthinking everything.
Yeah.
And they don't even call a travel anymore. So they're clearly making all these weird-ass judgment calls and, well, we're going to allow that or we're not going to allow that or, you know. And I can't even remember earlier in the game there was a travel on Tatum. Dude, any other star player, I know it's four steps, but it could also be two and a gather. Any other star player – they don't call that.
Right.
They don't call that. And I was watching one replay, and he did the up and under underneath the rim, and I can't remember who it was now, but they came right down on his forearm hard after he got the shot off, and he never gets the and one. And Tatum's got to keep being aggressive because he needs more tape for the Celtics to send into the NBA and say, what is wrong with you? When he doesn't get the and one calls and he settles for outside shots, even though he's making them, he needs more tape. He just needs more tape. Another non-call, guys. Another non-call, guys. Another non-call, guys. Another yeah. non-call, guys. You are going to have to beat these idiots over the head with tape.
Yeah. No, I think there has to be a concerted effort here on the part of the franchise to really try to do something about this, because it just, we see this over and over and over and over again. And it's, how else is it going to change? You know, how else is it going to change? I feel like we're marked, and I feel like Marcus Smart is marked among, you know, of out of everyone, marked the most. I mean, I don't know what happened. You know, there really hasn't been much of a story about what was said or what was
really
done.
It's really weird that that's not – it's just all of a sudden he's suspended.
Yeah. And,
you know. I mean, I'm sure it was profanity-laced and it probably was threatening. You know what I mean? It probably had okay. – he probably said yeah. – I mean, for him to be suspended like that and for everybody to be quiet, he probably could have gotten charged with a misdemeanor. You know, it's what my thinking is. You know, it's the heat of the moment. It's the game, right? But he probably made inappropriate verbal threatening comments. You know, that's what I'm thinking. But the officials have to stop with the nonsense, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, to your point, this is a young team, and they're frustrated, and they didn't play good defense against Portland. I mean, there's plenty of that game where you could be like, well, I mean, tough shots, man. Portland's just making tough shots. But there's also a lot of times in that game where they let them maintain the momentum by leaving somebody open, you know, wide open. And so, you know, they let Portland maintain their level of confidence offensively with the ball, for sure. But I really have had, and I don't, Tommy's not with us anymore. I mean, and we're starting to hear Scal and Mike talk openly about, like, I don't know what's going on. I know I can't even understand. You know, that's something that Mike always laughed off with Tommy, and he has even less reason to put up with it from Scal. And he's not shying away from it. So it really is starting to permeate, you know, a lot of the in-game commentary and the general discussion. Like, think there is something behind this at some point. You have to look at it and say there is a bias against the Celtics. And it just might be the usual they're young players in the league stuff. It might be that simple.
I think you're right. I think it might be that simple. I can't believe we just went. We just lived. I mean, the last two games. I'm just kind of like, it's all flashing back for me as I'm listening to you talk about this. I'm just like, where we were from the start of the game Friday night to the end of the game here Sunday. Like, talk about a freaking roller coaster and a half, right? I mean, Friday night in and of itself was like perhaps the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen. And then
weekend. Was like, they're digging another deficit that they're going to get close, but not quite get there. And I'm so sick of watching them do this. And even at the beginning of the Portland game, I was like, oh, here we go again. They're about to give up. But then they pulled Nurkic, and then Rob Williams comes in, and the next thing you know, everything's evened up, and they're starting to make play, and then everybody's hot, and it's just going off. But, man, if I have to watch them give up a freaking double-digit lead in 3 minutes to start a game over and over, you know, it's wearing on me.
Yeah, but I don't think that was from lack of defense, honestly. I thought
– You mean the Friday night? Or
no,
tonight.
Both tonight too. Yeah. I thought tonight. Well, no, not on Friday night. Tonight, I thought they were defending fairly well. I thought, apart from the turnovers, I thought they played really well tonight. You know, I thought there was a lot of good there. I mean, was it perfect? No, you're playing against, you know, one of the best offensive teams in the league. And a team, I think, that had a little bit kind of a chip on its shoulder given how the game went in Portland. So, you know, they had a little extra motivation going into this one. And the Celtics probably could have come into this with, you know, kind of resting on their big comeback, but they didn't. I thought they competed well.
Oh, that was great. That was great. Coming off of that big comeback, they might have been gassed, and then instead, like, especially the bench, Nesmith kept up high energy plays, you know, draining what his first four threes, is that right?
He was
4 for 4 at the end of the game. Yep. So, you know, and then you see Evan Fournier, who looks just like he did that one game right before he was out forever with COVID. And now he's, you know, back into that with some great defense. You know, he kept him in it before everything, you know, exploded by knocking it loose from Dame. And that was an amazing play to see him play defense like that and still be, you know, having the offensive performance that he was.
Because defensively on Friday night, he was there were wet paper bags that showed more resistance than what Evan Fournier was doing. But again, I'll say that, but then I'm going to put it through the lens of the dude's still dealing with COVID, and in the post game, he's kind of talking about the fact that he feels like he's concussed. You know, no one's going to look good when you feel like you're concussed for like 3 weeks. And can't see bright lights and, you know, all this other stuff. I mean,
Oh, that's still going on for him right now.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So you had a great game, sure, but he's still dealing with basically post concussion syndrome right now. So that's pretty great for him. I just end the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, dude. End it. Like, let's get that. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't want it to end. I love watching these guys play and all that, but I just want to, like, get to a normal season where, like, they have normal rest and maybe we can spend some time doing some clips and send to the league office and, like, hey, stop screwing our guys over stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are good. And we can build on those things in the off season. I've got to, if I'm Nesmith or I'm Pritchard, I'm feeling really good about where I'm going. Romeo needs a little bit of help here. I'm sure Fournier wants to end on a better note, though tonight was certainly a good start in trying to do that. But apart from that, like, really, I don't see an outcome in this season that ends up with a surprising run through the playoffs and making the finals. I just don't see it. It just feels like it's one thing after another this year. It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen for them.
No, I'm with you. It is not on their side. I think you're right. I think you're right, dude. It's just going to keep step. But, you know, they are going to – they're definitely going to play a play-in game, you know, it's looking like. I mean
– yeah.
I suppose they could take the five spot.
They may end up the sixth seed. I mean, I don't think they're going to beat out. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they're going to beat out, you know, the Knicks or the Hawks. I mean, I think they could, but I think realistically they're probably not going to.
These standings? You know what I mean? Like after Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee, but the Knicks and Atlanta.
I mean, in a way, you want to start to lose some games. LaMelo's back. Hayward's out of the boot. You know, I think it's probably better for Nesmith and Romeo and Pritchard and maybe Fournier to finish on a strong note, and maybe even for Tatum to have, you know, some playoff experience. But they're the seventh seed right now as we kind of do this. But they're 2.5 games ahead of Charlotte. They're not gonna fall behind Charlotte at this point. It wouldn't seem unless they really fall off the map. And then Indiana and Washington are a bit below them. It seems unlikely they're gonna end up in this thing without getting high enough, but who knows? Maybe the 9-10, you know, maybe there's a way to fall into that. But even if you end up as the nine seed, I guess going into it, your opportunities for lottery situations are still pretty limited. I mean, you're still going to end up as a 7% chance at a top four seed, but that's 7% more than you would have if you try to go into the playoffs and, you know, with Jaylen Brown playing on a gimpy, leg and Tatum still dealing with COVID and Fournier still dealing with COVID. There's benefits, I guess, is what I'm saying, to that 7% chance at a Cade Cunningham or an Evan Mobley or you know, whoever. I'm annoyed because the referees really, really screwed this up. Because without those two goaltending calls, just the two goaltending calls, that's 4 points. Those 4 points, it's a 7-point game when the injury happens. You know, they would have played that out. Would have been 3 points. And I know there's a lot of things that can happen. But if that's a 3-point game at that point, and you're not trapping, and you're not doing something stupid like that. You know, something stupid that happens like that, I mean. And so as a result, it's like, well, what? You know, you can't. There's nothing you can do about it. That's the game. That's what they were calling. It's how the officials, you know, were calling it. But the league has a problem on its hands, and they've got to contend with it. It could be, and I think, frankly, the Celtics, whatever they may have been able to hold on to, I'm not sure how much they're going to have to, you know, be able to build off of, with their two star players, you know, hobbling around like this. It's just so infuriating. Never mind the outcome of the game that they probably could have, should have won. This has longer term repercussions due to the
NBC. It was just a total double whammy. The whole way it went down was just a major double whammy. All right, mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the ad read and break up the negativity here for us.
Good.
BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season, it's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. And before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and take advantage of the 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, I said I was going to stop with the negativity, but is there anything – I know you must have seen this picture, but is there anything more disturbing than seeing LeBron James in a Red Sox hat at a press conference in front of a Lakers backdrop?
Oh, I didn't see that.
I'm going to text this over to you. It's disturbing. I mean, I know he's part of the ownership group and everything. But this is like, this is just wrong. I don't mind that he has ownership in the Red Sox, but this visual, it's wrong. I'm like literally going to text it to you right now. When you see it, you're going to be like, it's like Big Poppy rooting for the Lakers. It's weird, dude. It's weird.
Let's do this. Oh, wow. He's wearing green, too, which is also kind of
it's
funny.
So funny. I was going to roll that into the comment, the fact that he was wearing green in the middle of that, but I decided not to. It's funny. It's the first thing you noticed. He's in like Kelly Green Nike, like, warm-up track coat or something with the Lakers backdrop, and he's wearing a Red Sox hat. Like, if you're a Lakers fan, if you're a diehard L.A. fan, how are you feeling about this? Because if they hate us as much as we hate them, that's, I mean, it's confusing for me, but he doesn't play for my team. If he played for my team, you know, like, I still get a little like, when I see Kemba wearing the New York Yankees hats, right? But at the same time, like, he is from New York. You know what I mean? But, and I get it, LeBron is, you know, part of the ownership group in Boston, but it's not the same thing, and it's weird.
It's weird. I mean, it's not, like, bad. Like, I think some people might be like, well, you know, like, whatever. I'm kind of over the Red Sox, so it's like, I have less.
Oh, yeah, I'm over baseball.
It's, you know, the whole thing with Mookie and all that, like, I'm kind of, like, over that. So it doesn't – the Kemba thing doesn't bother me nearly as much as it might have, you know, 03, 04, let's say. But you know, right now, yeah, he's a part owner. It's just – it's a weird world we're in, you know. Like, I don't know. We just don't look at things the way we used to.
Everything is upside down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just – yeah, let's talk about Jason Tatum. Well, can we talk about Tatum's 60 points first?
You can, but Nesmith was the difference in that game. He really was. Well, they needed that so bad. I realized that Tatum 60 was 60
points
the
with no turnovers. Probably.
I get it.
They needed Nesmith, and I think we saw that tonight. Frankly, I don't think we got enough Aaron Nesmith tonight. I thought he played really well, and I thought he was effective. And
he's confident, man. He's slowing making, down type of thing. I don't know what
Marcus Smart plays is what he's doing. You know, he's making those hustle plays, those winning plays. He's doing that, perhaps more so than Marcus is. You know, that's not meant to be a criticism of Marcus, but I'm just saying it feels like Nesmith is kind of the last couple of games, last few games, he's been kind of that guy for them.
He's been flying around everywhere. He's crashing the glass. you know, I mean, he got that goaltending call at, you know, that's the other one that we've been referencing, but
shouldn't have been. Yeah. Now he's playing great. And I think, you know, he was a big part of this. I think the turnaround, if you want to call it that, of what the team has had and providing a bit more of a consistent effort. And I think he's been, you know, Pritchard's been good too. I want, you know, Pritchard's really been helpful. But before we talked about Nesmith, I think that it's, you know, Jason Tatum scoring 60 points. We're old and we, you know, we go back to those days. That's the year before I started watching. So I'm old. And I really didn't watch the 85 season. That was really, first of all, the game wasn't on that much, but I was also seven. And I really, it hadn't really hit for me. It did the next year. So I've always seen that game, you know, in highlights or whatever. But that was a game the Celtics were way ahead. They were, you know, they had that game. This was every single point that Jason Tatum scored was critical to winning that game. I mean, and it was efficient. It wasn't like I'm just going for it. It was all in the flow of how the game was going on. It really wasn't forced in any way. It was him going to the basket a lot, getting the free throw line, just taking control. And you know, the other thing I want to say about that is he was taking control from the start. He was not, you know, though the team was horrendous with a capital H for the first 2.5 quarters of the game, he was doing everything he could, I thought, on both ends of the court to try to not be in that spot. It just took a long time.
No, he led by example on the energy side of things, too.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
I mean, that's,
I just think it's so daunting for him and Jaylen to have to carry this, right? Like, they've tried to get – the bench has been the question mark all along. And especially with Brown, we've talked about – not Brown, with Walker. We've talked about him being in and out and in and out. It messes with the rotations, and it messes with the cohesiveness of the bench unit as well. And now it's like – I think Scal actually got it right. You know, like what's – you know, what was it for Nesmith? Why did Brad, you know, start to use him? You know, and I think Scal nailed it when he said, I think Brad just realized that what he needs is energy, because everything else he'll have to work it out after that, right? So let's reward the energy guys. If you play with energy, you're going to get on the floor. And I think that's wise, especially on the bench unit, because, you know, to not be aggressive, to not – you know, challenge. Who cares if you foul out at this point? You know, especially if you're not playing, if you're not getting any minutes, who gives a crap if you foul out? Go out and give your hardest 5 minutes until you foul out of the game. But that's what they need. They need to set that tone and that culture. And so, you know, turns out he isn't fouling out. I mean, he got a little bit of foul trouble, Nesmith, I mean, you know, in the Portland game, but it didn't erase him from being able to come back in the second half. You know, it just limited him, you know, to the close of the first half. And they've got a zillion other bench guys that if they all play that way, they ought to be able to get something out of somebody every night. Because there is depth, not necessarily quality experience depth, but there's depth. You can easily plug and play. Like, where's Semi Ojeleye? When's the last time we saw Semi? Right? It's been a while. But there was a time there where he was getting solid minutes night in and night out. And now Brad's gone. Well, so that's what it needs to be. You know, they need to set the tone. And I'm glad that Tatum helped set that tone, you know, from a starter's perspective. But the problem is when him and Brown have to do that all the time, everybody winds up standing around watching them. It reminds me of Paul Pierce before the KG trade. Do you remember that miserable season before he went out with the injury? Everybody stood around just watching Paul Pierce. Nobody was moving off the ball, you know, and I know there's a lot of criticism for Brad. You know, it's like, well, he needs to come up with a different, you know, game plan offensively. And I do agree, like, those players need to move. But I remember you and I having this exact same conversation back in 2007 saying all they do is stand around and wait for Pierce to do it for them. And it's ridiculous. And that's the Tony Allen teams. That's the Delonte West. I mean, those guys all had energy, right? They poured it in, you know, but not when Paul Pierce was playing. When he went out with the injury, they still were losing games, but we saw him play with a lot, you know, more ball movement and things like that. And so I'm weary that Jaylen and Tatum are gonna end up in a similar situation where everybody's standing around kind of watching. So it's so refreshing when you see Peyton Pritchard take charge, or you see, you know, Nesmith come in and just crash the glass, even if he doesn't have to take charge, right? He's just constantly trying to find an open spot beyond the arc, or, you know, make another play happen somewhere else. But even Peyton, when Tatum's in the game, especially down the stretch, he dribbles it up. He's way less aggressive, and they basically just try to, you know, do like kind of a high shifty screen and, you know, sidestep so that Peyton Pritchard can just give the ball over to Tatum. And I don't know that that's the best way to get Tatum, you know, set up, you know, in the offense.
Well, I mean, yes, I would like to see more movement, more, you know, I don't know what it's going to take for that to change, though, because that's not just a Celtics thing. That's an NBA
thing.
The ball to your best player and get out of the way thing. You know, I mean, that's the way that it's been for at least, you know, for as long as I can maybe remember, you know, and watching the, and it got worse during the, you know, kind of post Jordan era, I think, but, they need, yes, there, when you have as many threats on the floor as the Celtics have, or at least when you have Jaylen and Jason, you have to be able to move the ball, to maximize whatever the, you know, the matchup is, you got to move the ball. And yeah, most of the time, vast majority of the time, it's going to be Jason Tatum that should be taking the shot. But if you're never doing anything other than just giving the ball to Tatum, it's, you know, I think the results probably won't bear themselves out to be successful every time. But I'm also going to say,
but
they
knew
exactly where the ball was going on
energy.
Friday night. They knew exactly where that ball was going.
They scored 60.
And it didn't matter. And yeah. I think that probably the same would have been true tonight. I think he's on one right now, and you just, that's just what you do. You give
the
ball
to the best player.
What did they
say? He scored the most points in a 3-game stretch of any Celtic ever?
Yeah. Seems pretty good.
Seems like a good run.
Yeah. I mean, it's too bad he didn't get to finish the game.
You know, I was thinking, downside. I was like, man, if they got this into overtime, you know, yeah, then he would set the 2-game. Like, he was pretty close to McHale. What was he, 6 points away from McHale's 98 in 2 games, I think is what they were saying. So, because he had 32 tonight, right?
Yeah.
When he went out. Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, he was like right there.
I mean, I think he's the thing about Tatum that he has kind of taken on of late is that he has shown an ease and a desire, I think, to continue to you know, to try to compete in such a way where he's showing his teammates what needs to be done. You know, it's winning time, basically. You know, this is what we need to accomplish to get where we want to go. And I understand, you know, as somebody who's coming off of COVID, why that's the case. But I think that he also didn't have teammates that were necessarily able to step up. He had teammates who were injured. He had teammates who were, you know, just it was the perfect storm of bad situations on this team this season. I mean, really, if you look at it, it puts Hospital Celtics to shame in how bad this season went on so many different levels, you know. And they still have a puncher's chance to enter the playoffs if everyone's healthy right now. But I, that seems, you know. Now, he's talking to the media tonight. We're going to finish this up before. So he may say, well, I just tweaked it and I'm feeling fine or whatever. But you got to think it's got to slow him down. Yes, they have 2 days off now, but you got to think it's at least going to slow him down. Jalen, it looks like it's a more serious situation, you know, and with the way the schedule's packed up, they've got, you know, two weeks that's kind of packed full of games before the play-in. So I had the schedule up.
I got Celtics blog open. Evan Fournier said that neither Tatum nor Brown seemed particularly concerned. Brad said, no update. I can tell you maybe before the game. I mean, I can tell you on Tuesday. So they got 3 days off, right?
Or yeah.
2 days off. 2 days off, and then the game.
2 days off.
Wednesday. Yeah.
They got seven games basically in a two-week stretch. And then just the play.
Every other night pace. Yep.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Miami has kind of jumped ahead of them. Now, they do have those two games against Miami. But, you know, again, if Jalen's hobbled, if that ankle sprain is anything of any significance with where Kemba is, I just don't see any way.
I don't even understand what's going on with Kemba. That's so bizarre.
Yeah. But, you know, he played, you know, when that happened. So he played through it. But, you know, it's what it is. You know, it's the way the season's been. It's just, it's one thing after another, you know. I mean, just when you think you're through it, oh, we've got nobody on the, nobody's on the list. Except for Rob Williams, I think, was the only one that night. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, here we go again. You know, it's just, it's remarkable. It really is.
Right. Every time it looks like they're going to get over the hump, you know, it together. Every time there's just like this major slam them back on the ground. All right. Yeah. I'll tell you what, John, that's about all I can take.
That's all I got. Yeah.
That's all sucks, I got,
man.
It's so funny because you and I were texting on Saturday about when we're going to record, and I feel like our text message was, you know, bright and shiny and, sure. You know, kind of like a lot of the other shows had been, you know, recently, and a bunch of good points. But, you know, here we are with a frustrating game, a pile of injuries and concerns anyway, again, and a short run to the postseason in a season that just does seem like jinxed, or they just seem jinxed since Isaiah Thomas. I swear. So, man, just bring the man back and reverse the friggin' bad vibe, whatever. I don't know. Help. Mm-hmm. Please. Please do something with Isaiah Thomas in some fashion. Just get this righted. Like, this cloud can't hang over us any longer. All right, John. Well, we're going to have another one. Probably going to have to turn another one here towards the end of this week, I guess. So we'll be back after a couple of games. So sit tight, and hopefully everything will be all right. The one thing we do know is that, you know, we don't really know. So we'll find out. And hopefully it just looks worse than it is. And as far as the officials, no, it's as bad as it looks. All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can follow John on Twitter at @CSL_Duke. You can follow me, Justin, at @CSL_Justin. You can also follow the show at @CSL_TweetLive. And, you know, definitely subscribe to Celtic Stuff Live on iTunes. Well, I guess not even iTunes anymore. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Ghana. There's a zillion. Whatever your favorite podcast application. And, you know, give us a rating and a review. Your feedback's important to the show. And just sincerely, thanks everybody for sticking through this really bizarro season with John and I. And, you know, hang in there. and we'll be back. So on behalf of John and myself, thank you for listening to this episode of Celtic Stuff Live.